Welcome to the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. Once again, it doesn't even matter what episode this is. It's a lot. Close to 400. Round up. I don't know.
Are we just rounding up now?
Just rounding
up.
Is
that what we're doing?
Close to 400. Not. Oh boy. It doesn't matter.
Well, close to 400, over 400.
390 something. How are you doing? How's your work week? The good thing is whitetail season's close if it hasn't already kicked off in your state. I hope you're doing well. Hope you're getting through work and everybody's treating you good and you're having some good hunts out there if you're already in the woods. That's fucking awesome. I wish Illinois started earlier, or Illinois and Iowa, but I'm kind of glad they don't.
Yeah. Me neither.
I don't know if I'd go much anyway, unless I had a chance like killing like a real big velvet buck or something, you know? Like
if it was hot, I don't know.
If it was going to start early, it'd have to start super early. Like, I wouldn't want it in between, like, closer to...
Oh, really?
You know what I mean?
Like, September 15th wouldn't do it for you?
That'd be earlier than that, so you can shoot him in velvet. So you got that chance.
Hey, you have a decent chance of shooting him in velvet.
Yeah.
We're recording this, so this is going to launch. See, today is September 15th.
Could you imagine if today was opening day?
It'd be weird, but it's been feeling like season in Illinois in the Midwest.
It has.
This is the mornings.
So I'd be cool with it. So it's just unique by each year.
It's been 40 degrees in the morning.
It's nuts. It's awesome. It's
beautiful. That's crazy.
It's beautiful. Anyway, we want to thank all our supporters. We appreciate the hell out of you, first and foremost. We have some big, big plans coming for 2021, probably early summer, midsummer.
You're the best.
And we want to include you in that, but that's just the thing that's going to unravel and unfold into what it is. So just stick with us. We appreciate your support. We appreciate
you.
Everyone reaching out, the emails, the Instagram messages. Facebook's dead, except for our group.
It literally is.
Instagram's our jam.
Facebook is kind of dead, isn't it?
Yeah, it is dead. It's all right, though.
Except Marketplace.
My jam. What to look forward to now. Wage Brain stickers are going to be available soon. If you're listening to this right now and you made a merch order, it will be delayed by a little bit because we are on a hunt right now if you're listening to this. So that's just part of our business. We are working class people that are hunting on our vacation time.
Give me till we come back and I'll have your shit out.
So Eric will get it out right away. So I had to do that. That's the one thing I wanted to get out to everybody. But we do appreciate you supporting us there and all our Patreon members. We have three tiers there, $1, $5, $10. Thank you so much for supporting us there. We've been giving those guys discount codes and like we're sending all our top tier Patreon members, all in batch of our new stickers. We got 4 or 5 new stickers. We're going to send
them
all.
And everyone that's been asking, the new state hats did sell out really fast. There are more on the way. So.
And kill caps.
Yep, more kill caps, state hats, so they'll be in stock. They should be in stock right now if you're listening to this.
Let's hope so.
But your order hot.
But your order will be delayed because we're hunting. So, hey, thanks. The podcast is presented by HHA Sports. I think people by now kind of get the memo when we're working class is. HHA is right there with us. They've been supporters of us for pretty much year one.
Yeah. Right from the beginning.
Yeah. Code WCB15 will save you some coin. I didn't share it on our working class page. I posted on my personal page today. I posted a video of me shooting 100 yards. And I honestly, like, yeah, it takes practice to shoot 100 yards accurately. But I think my sight plays a big, big factor in helping me focus out at 100 yards.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying that's going to make you shoot 100 yards, but I think it helps. I think it's more motivating and fun when you have a product you love and believe in.
It'll help you get more yardage for sure.
Sight picture is like number one.
Oh, yeah. So you don't have 7 pins if you want to shoot at that 100 yards.
That messes with me, my mental focus.
Yes.
And that's really like the mental game. Like I'm weird too. Like if it's low light, like I practiced last night at low light just so I can kind of get used to that like time of day. And I shot a light of knock into my buck target. And then I notice it messes up my aiming shooting at another light of knock because my mental fuckery makes me want to like aim high above the light of knock. So I don't hit it. You know what I mean? It's weird. Archery is more of a mental game than I think people give credit for.
It's a huge mental game.
Or I think it's more of a mental game than what people actually have conversation about like in detail. But then again, I feel we might shoot our bows a little more often than like the average guy that's just going out hit vitals and that's it, you know. But HHA has really helped us out a lot. I believe in that product. I believe in the brand. I believe in the people. So super thankful for them.
Great people.
Also, Scent Crusher, we do have our own rapid mobile shower. The link is on our website. The link is in the description. You can only get that through our link. That supports us. It helps our partners. It helps our partners help us, if you will. It's a Rapid Mobile Shower with our logo embroidered on it. That's pretty cool.
It just helps everyone.
It helps everyone. If you listen to this podcast and you're in the market for that type of product, we'd appreciate it if you'd buy our edition. It's the same price as the normal one. And you just basically slip it on in your vehicle, and it kills the scent on your work clothes, on your street clothes, or you put your hunting clothes on and get into it, and then crush the scent on the way to your hunting property. So it's a win-win. You ain't stanky no more, and you look good in some working-class jumpsuits.
Hey, you got a fresh date? Throw that bitch on.
Throw it on.
You're smelling fresh.
You got time to shower? Throw that bad boy on.
Yeah. Not a bad idea.
Know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's multi-purpose.
Yeah. You're covered in gear oil. Hop in that baby. Yeah, it's fine. Right. Did you understand? Just wear it into the restaurant on your date.
Oh, dang.
Dude, COVID's a thing right now. You could wear that. Psh, no more COVID.
Wear that on.
Just run it.
Put a tie on. Good to go.
No, dude, there you go.
You're looking nice. Not stinking anymore. That's not a bad idea, Eric.
Interview? Think about it.
Oh, an interview?
Yeah.
Guarantee you got the job.
Yeah. This guy smells like absolutely nothing.
This guy's an alpha for sure.
It's incredible. He looks like trash, but smells like nothing.
Yeah.
Sold.
Looks like a garbage can, but he smells like...
I can't smell him.
Roses.
Right. How does he do it? The podcast also brought to you by Loophole Optics. Thermoseat made us a code. WCTS. And I cut some thermoseats up. I butchered one. I cut it up to fit one of my tree stands.
Hey, I'm not going to lie. Sometimes you got to do it.
I got redneck with it.
Because sometimes it just hangs over too far. You know,
yeah.
You got every seat's a different shape.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to trim it.
Yeah. Well,
to make it fit.
They make a different size for every application pretty much. But I'm so white trash, and I'm like, they're going to be mad at me. But I did it, and it's perfectly fine, and it's comfy. And our logo's on it. We got some thermoseats with our logo printed on them. And you can do that too for your brand. If you have a brand and you want to order custom thermoseats, you can do it, which is pretty cool. Also, Victory Archery. We're shooting the Rip TKOs. Eric's rocking the Extortions.
That's right.
To check those arrows out. I love them. I depend on
hopefully.
Them. I
believe hopefully
them.
I'm putting them to the test right now.
Color them red here soon.
Yeah, that's right. Right now, as this podcast launched, we're animal hunting. Gator Outdoors, they made a code for our listeners, code WCB10. That will save you 10% at Gator Outdoors. And they deal true timber camo, and that's what we're rocking right now. We're rocking the Strata pattern. They're not a sponsor of ours, but Gator is, and they're a dealer for True Timber. So
that's right.
We decided to try it all out. You know, try new things, kind of fun. But I like it so far, especially you can't beat the price.
Yeah.
Also, Elite Archery, everything, outdoor group product, WCB is the code for there. We're all shooting the Cure. We're going to be rocking them. That's pretty cool that we're partnering with them. Yep. Love those bows. Big time. The code is still active, WCB2020. Get your product. That works for everything. Swag, seed, supplemental feed, anything you want from
anything
Big Time.
On their website.
Awesome stuff. I wish I could supplemental feed in Illinois. We'll have some podcasts in detail on that, hopefully. Hopefully soon. Also Hunter's Blend Coffee, Old Barn Taxidermy. We're doing that giveaway. So if you kill an animal and you want to get it shoulder mounted, you take it to Old Barn Taxidermy. They have an Iowa location. They have a Colorado location. You want to take your shoulder mount there and say, hey, working class bow hunter sent me here. They go, oh, you don't say, let me just put your name on this ticket here and put you in this drawing from the working class bow hunter listeners. And you go, wow. That sounds great. Wow. And they go, yeah, actually, there's only 5 listeners for Working Class Bowhunter, so you have a 1 in 5 chance of winning.
There's 5 now? Last I heard, there was 4.
Well, there might be 3.
Okay. They're out there killing it.
So it's like, you're 1 of 5 of their listeners. You have a 1 in 5 chance of winning a free shoulder mount.
That's right.
And so that's pretty cool.
Buck.
It's pretty good odds.
And they also have a lot of drop-off points, too. So
I might be one this fall.
So if you get a hold of them, ask them if they're not close, if they have a drop-off point that's close to you.
I'm hoping I'm one of them. We're having a hard time finding freezers because of the Rona.
Yeah.
Damn, and a bunch of other shit. But anyway. Yeah, they have drop-offs. It's easy to get to Old Barn. They're a tannery. Chances are there's a pretty good chance your hometown taxidermist might use a product of Old Barn Taxidermy.
Right.
So they are great people. They believe in us and support us, and we're super, super thankful for
that. And if you're local, you can have everything done there now. The processing.
Food processing, yeah. Deer processing.
And have it mounted.
That's right.
All in one spot.
They do everything. I'll have my bear mount back in like 5 weeks, roughly. 4 weeks. It's going to be cool.
Yeah, Gang. The turnaround's nuts, Gang. Too.
It's going to be real cool. Anyway, thankful for all our partners. Thank you guys so much. It's kind of cool to be the way we are and have awesome companies kind of back us and support what we do. We're super thankful
for that. Still let us do whatever the hell we want.
Just let us keep on keeping on.
That's the beauty of owning your own show. Until we sell out. What's up?
Who's got that $5,000, you know?
Dude, you pay me $3,200.
We got to split it, so you better double that.
Hey,
$6,400, we're good.
Give me a case of beer.
Yeah, and like...
You can have it.
Give me a case of Apple Busch Light if you can find it, and fuck, I'll sell it. Who cares, right?
That's right.
we out.
I'd like to say we're joking, but we're not. Doug, do you have a veteran shout-out? We are joking.
I do.
Just to clarify, everyone's like, damn, I might buy it. I don't know what I'm going to do with it.
This was sent in by Luke Aker. Hopefully I pronounced that right. And the veteran name is Brandon Lococo. It's a very interesting last name. I like it.
You probably messed that one up for sure.
It says Lococo in parentheses, so I think I did okay. The branch is Air Force. He says, hey, guys, I love the podcast. I want to give a shout-out to my best friend, Brandon. He's more like a brother to me. He spent 6 years in the Air Force while he was... While he was in security forces and stationed at Malmstrom Air Force Base in Montana. I probably fucked that up.
Montana.
My bad.
You said that wrong.
Oops.
Montana. Where he did a shit ton of duck hunting and deer hunting. Since he's been out, we've hunted a 40-acre woods together here in Indiana and went to Ontario on a black bear hunt where he shot a 250-pound bear.
Nice.
Very nice.
Rad.
Congrats. He's a great dude, and we both are working-class hunters. I'm a welder, and he's a production worker at Chrysler. Thank you. Thanks for your time and the opportunity to shout out my bro, and keep hustling.
Thank you, Luke.
Thank you, Luke.
Thanks for your service, Brandon. And
thanks for your service, Brandon.
Thank you. Luke.
Congrats on the bear, man. That's awesome.
That is awesome.
Bear hunt's fun.
Got a bunch of wage brains in here, you know?
Hey, it is.
What it is.
He got that welder in that Chrysler line.
Hey, we appreciate you submitting that veteran shout-out.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brandon. If you want to submit your own veteran shout-out, workingclassbowhunter.com, contact tab, and there's a veteran shout-out form there. Help us out with the pronunciation because we're dumb.
hey, it is what it is.
I don't spell very good.
It's all right. Well, we got Buckstorm boys going to jump on here in a second. Love those guys. Right now, while you're listening, we're in camp with those boys. Antelope hunting, public ground. I just did what I hate and said that it was public ground, which, of course, it's public ground.
Hopefully, we've got something down by now.
I hope, man. I was talking to them guys. I think 7 tags total in camp, but they're going to be doing some mule deer hunting. While we're chasing the goats, me, Eric, Papa Dave, and I'm sure they have antelope tags. I'm sure that, but I don't know that. I think they're more worried about the antlers than the horns, which is fair.
That's all right.
I'd like to see some big mule deer in camp anyway, so that'd be cool.
Oh, absolutely.
Split it up. We're gonna get into it. We'll talk about it, but they're great dudes. Highly recommend checking out their YouTube channel. They'll plug all that stuff, I'm sure, by the end of the episode. But awesome guys. Literally, we'll get into it. Met Jeremy as a listener. He was a listener, and then we became friends, and then we started doing hunts together, and kind of how it happens sometimes, you know. Mutual interest. Hunters are all good people, I think, and
good people come together.
If you don't know Jeremy, go to our reel. You'll see him.
Yeah. Good call, Eric. So we did a Instagram has – it's kind of their battle for TikTok,
yep,
I'm assuming, and it's called the – I'll bring it up when we get him on here, and I don't think he realizes how many –
He knows it's on there. Did you tag him in it?
Oh, he knows it's on there, but okay. I don't think he knows the like surge of views it's gotten in the last 2 days because it had like 120,000 views. So what it is, it's a video of Jeremy bugling next to a giant wooden dick, and literally we're in the background of the backcountry of Colorado.
Like middle of nowhere.
And
someone carved a wiener.
There was a logger at one point back in there that was like, hey, watch this, and did that. And
he probably carved that thing in about 3 minutes.
Oh, yeah, probably. Well, we were back in there. It was like one of the last days of our elk hunt, and Jeremy had his bugle tube or whatever, and I'm like, hey, bugle, lean up next to this. Let me video. And he did it. So I posted it as a reel on our Instagram. Currently, it has 324,000 views.
Jeez. We need to get the one video of they got a view of skipping across the rocks.
Oh, I got that. I'll post it for sure.
Yeah, you need to do that.
I'm trying to let these breathe. These are doing so well. the video of Creepy has almost 60,000 views. The video of my G3 buck has 461,000 views.
Woof.
Pretty cool. Chandler's Man Cave has 216,000 views. Pretty cool. The reels are neat. I like them. It's like, I like it better than you can post hunting stuff on like TikTok, you know? I have a lot of like cool, pointless video clips that are good for nothing else but stuff like that.
Yeah.
So We'll post. I'm sure we'll make a couple when we're in South Dakota.
A lot of us being idiots.
Yeah, yeah,
we got those.
So also right now, we might have already done recorded this podcast, but we just made a post on Instagram that if you want to submit a question, it's literally an Ask Us Anything post. Go in there, and we're just going to go back and read through the questions and answer them.
Are we doing hunting related or not?
Anything you want.
Anything you want. Ask us what. Ask away.
Anything you want to ask us, we'll answer it. Hopefully,
we will. Oh boy.
Maybe. Maybe we won't. I mean, come on, like, be reasonable.
I plead the fifth.
Hey, shit might get weird.
Hey, ask away. We'll get into
hey,
it.
Hey, I ain't scared.
Cool. All right, let's get the Buckstorm boys on. We have two of the three Buckstorm boys that are going to be on this podcast, but we'll have all three of them on the podcast when we're in camp. So
let's do it.
Here we go.
I'm Chase Rolson with Rubline Marketing.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody, it's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey, guys, this is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Munt from Bone Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Buckman.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bow Hunter. That's right. This is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T. Bone Turner from The Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
Nobody pushes the envelope like Working Class Bow Hunter.
Hey, this is Jules McQueen, and you are listening to the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast.
It's really, really not that good.
Working class. All right, the podcast is officially engaged. We are via phone. We have Travis and Jeremy from Buckstorm on the phone. What's up, fellas?
What's up, guys?
So it's weird because in real life we're all hunting together, but in podcast land, Doug got stuck in podcast land.
Yeah, I'm working.
So, but in real life we're all hunting right now.
Somebody's got to do it.
Right. We're right. Chasing goats.
Got to provide for the family.
We're in goat camp. So we figured it'd be fun to kind of record an episode and launch it while we're on the hunt. And kind of I wanted to talk Buckstorm, what you guys have been up to, what you guys got going on. And so what's up, fellas?
Absolutely. We've kind of been doing a little bit of everything, and we haven't been doing a whole heck of a lot of hunting ourselves yet, but that's soon to change in goat camp.
Yeah, yeah.
This weekend, or right now, I guess I should say, but we just got back from a sheep hunt, bighorn sheep hunt, and for anyone that doesn't know, South Dakota is like, if you get that tag, it's like better than winning the Powerball, like 1 in 1,000 lifetime tags.
Really?
None of us will ever probably get it. It's
okay, let me ask you insane. This. Before we dive into this, because I have a lot of questions on that, but I want...
Yeah.
I know, I can already tell where we're going to go, so I'm kind of going to reroute the layout of this. Tell people who you guys are and what Buckstorm is. You guys have been on the podcast quite a few times. We've hunted together, and people should be familiar by now. But
because we got some new listeners going
on. Yeah, and we do. We have a lot of new listeners. So just break down what Buckstorm is before we get into these crazy hunt stories, because I know people are going to be like, who the fuck are these guys if they don't already know?
For sure. Yeah, we basically started filming our hunts back, when we were in high school, 10, 15 years ago, whatever it was, hard to keep track, but started there. Jeremy had an idea. He's like, hey, let's just focus on YouTube, and if we would have done that sooner, we'd probably be a little bit further along, but basically we're always going to video our hunts. It's a good way to relive it, so we've always done it, and essentially just kind of started growing it from there. We have a good local following in South Dakota. There's not a lot of other guys doing it. We've invested a fair amount of money and equipment and whatnot to make it work, and we just go out and document everything, but try to keep it real. We don't over-edit it. We're not trying to make a 5-star movie. We just go out and show how it really is.
That's my favorite thing about you guys.
So people can relate.
Honestly.
So. I think that what really started the whole thing was we always kind of, like you said, filmed our hunts, but there was the I shot that mule deer at 3 yards, and after that we got that on film, and I think then we're kind of like, holy shit, that was cool, let's, you know, try and do it again and show everybody else, because it's, you know, you do something like that, it's pretty rare and pretty cool. And
yeah,
absolutely. At that point we probably haven't stopped filming since that day.
Yeah, just kind of lit a fire. We filmed before that, but we didn't take it that serious, and that was kind of the one that's like, hey, let's hit this a little harder, get some microphone so it's not just all wind noise when it's blowing 45 miles an hour on the prairie.
So that video,
very green.
That video kind of lit the fire underneath your ass and to keep doing it.
Yeah, exactly. And since then we just, I mean, it's just like anyone can relate. A lot of people want to film, but they're, you know, limited time. You're like, I'm not going to not shoot something if it's not on film. It's just one of those things. It's kind of the normal for us. We just go out, we video, have a good time. We don't take it too serious, but we just video a lot, so we have enough content to put something together every single hunt.
And don't get me wrong, but videoing's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, it's a pain in the ass for sure.
I hate it. Yeah. There's so many times we just want to put the camera down and hunt.
Oh, I bet.
But you guys are comfortable about it. Like, I've hunted with you guys a couple times. Like, we've got to be really good friends over the years, and I know we've probably talked about this in detail about how we met and how we got to talk, you know, got to basically started talking to doing that elk hunt a couple years ago, to hunt an antelope last year, to set it up for camp again, and just staying in. You guys are real good friends of mine, just staying in regular contact. But you guys are like, you're good at what you do because you're comfortable with it. Like, the way you film, like, the cameras are part of your hunting equipment. You're not like forcing people to be awkward in front of a camera. You're just filming casually and comfortably, and you have the camera with you. Like, when I shot my antelope, you know, me and Jeremy are up front and Travis is behind us with the camera. It wasn't like the camera was in the way of what we were doing. The camera was just there.
Yeah.
And so you guys are kind of downplaying what you do. I really do like your videos. I watch a few hunting shows. Your guys' videos are in my top five for sure. Yes,
absolutely.
Because I do like how you said you film it comfortably and you're not overproduced. You're not trying to paint a picture of what's not really there. You're not trying to make your guys – you're not trying to put yourselves on a pedestal like you guys are the best hunters of all time. You guys are showing it how it really can happen. So I think for a Midwestern guy or an Eastern listener that's into whitetails that's wanting to venture west, subscribe to the Buckstorm YouTube because you can watch some of these hunts, even though, you know, they're primarily South Dakota and that you guys have some hunts elsewhere and stuff like that, but – you kind of get a flavor on how to hunt elk, how to hunt mule deer, how to hunt antelope,
you get that feel for it.
Yeah, you get the feel for it. You kind of understand what it takes to locate animals, and you guys just put it out in a very realistic way without putting lipstick on everything to where there's a lot of industry people out there. They got to make sure it's all edited like that person looks like the bad motherfucker on the video. When it's like, hey, come on, man.
Which
like,
is a nice twist to have.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not really a twist. That's a beautiful thing about it.
It's a real thing.
It's just here it is.
Yeah.
So
in your face.
Yep. And we're not staging anything. We just video, like you said, we just video and you can always put it together. I mean, you got enough clips. Obviously we trim a lot of stuff out, but we show it how it really happened. If somebody makes a bad shot, we're going to show it because that's part of hunting. I mean, it's just part of it. Anyone that says it's not is lying. I mean, you could be a world-class number one archery shot in the entire world, and you can still gut shoot a deer. I mean, it's just part of it. And
yeah,
we've all been there. So,
yeah, absolutely.
I like
the way Kurt put it. The camera's just kind of there. Like we don't put too much emphasis on the fact that we're filming. Like, hey, I know we're in the middle of a stock, but you need to stop and tell the world what you're doing. If we don't get that at the beginning, it is what it is. We kind of just go with it. Nice. I don't know. I just like the way you put it, where the camera's just, it's like another one of us just happens to be there. If it gets it, then I guess we got lucky that time. So
yeah. Yep, for sure.
But you're not making it look like a camera. You're making it look like you're through the eyes of the guy right behind you.
That is the better way of putting it.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not explaining, hey, this is what we're doing, this is what we're doing, but you're like, hey, it's just like you're talking to your buddy right behind you.
Yep.
Yeah, like a third-person view almost.
You're a buddy in camp that's on the stock. That's the camera.
The POV, right. You know.
The POV. Yep. What up?
What up?
We're all fans of that.
Yes.
So anyway, I knew you guys wouldn't say that for yourself because you guys are humble and good dudes and, you know, a little gay, but we won't get into that. But
oh,
I'm kidding.
Hey, it is what it is, you know?
Hey, it is what it is. Jeremy said it best.
Bunch of 4-inch goats for you, Kurt. We're gonna go get them.
Hey, I'll shoot another one, baby.
You know, so when it's just you two guys, when it's just you two guys, it's like a flip of the coin who's videoing that day, or how's it go? You guys like
we just
some wrestle or something?
Kind of do whatever. I don't really understand how we do it. We just kind of do it. We don't really talk about it. Sometimes we will be like, hey, you got first stock. Like, depending on what we're hunting, antelope's pretty easy because like you go after one, we'll just take turns if it's just us going. But I want Jeremy to shoot a deer with his bow this year. So if we branch off and go deer hunting, whatever happens at camp with six of us there, he's probably going to have his bow in the hand 90% of the time, and I'll have the camera because he's a little overdue on killing something with his bow, just saying.
Yeah. On a long dry spell.
Just saying.
So let's kind of take this turn here, and let's talk about camp, and then we'll get to the sheep hunt and all that. But
yeah.
So we're non-residents, of course, so we can't hunt mule deer right now because they changed it a couple years ago. You can't hunt mule deer as a non-resident in South Dakota. Is that correct?
Yeah, you can, but it doesn't open until October 1st.
Okay, that's what I
mean. Gotcha.
While we're there,
and
we
can. You got to apply by April 1st or April 31st, probably the 31st, but they changed it all only about a year, 2 years ago probably. So
yeah,
so
they mixed it up, but...
Go ahead.
Yeah, they basically used to be like third week of September. They switched it to September 1 opener for deer. But when they did that, they made it resident only September 1. So basically the residents have a whole month to hunt before non-residents are coming in. And I think the only reason that really happened is there's a couple of really, really popular areas in the state that draw the biggest crowds. And there was a lot of residents that were upset that they used to have this great hunting experience, and now it's just flooded with people, whether they're residents or non-residents. So they also issued some access permits you got to apply for and get ahead of time and whatnot. But essentially, they just made it where you got to do your homework in advance. You can't just say, hey, I'm going to go hunting and get a tag tomorrow.
Right.
But it's still a really easy state to hunt. You can get a tag. Easiest guaranteed. You just have to make sure you meet the deadlines. For archery seasons anyhow.
Gotcha.
Very cool. So
yeah.
While we're there, you know, Eric, Papa Dave, myself, we all have antelope tags. So we're going to be chasing antelope. That's the only thing we can hunt. You guys have mule deer tags, and you guys are going to hunt mule deer in the morning, meet back up with us.
Yeah, more than likely we'll just kind of go out because there's really no reason to be up at first light for antelope. They're out all day. So you guys can sleep in and have a couple extra bush lattes at night.
Say less.
You're talking my language now.
Hey, what's up? Okay.
Yeah.
Noted.
We could probably. Bush lights. Yep. Yeah. Make sure you throw a couple extra 30 racks in, but we'll probably have just as many. We'll just have to fight it and get up a little earlier, but we can shoot. It's any deer tag. So there's plenty of whitetails around too. So who knows? Shooting a whitetail from the ground is kind of fun. So, more than likely, we'll just hike in a few miles, check out some public areas, and then we'll just meet up and grind it, get a couple ground blinds set up on water. It's been dry out here this year, so if there's a year to target water, this is the year.
Yeah, I want to get I want to get Papa Dave in the ground blind. But what's cool is, like, you know, all seven of us or six of us or whatever aren't going to be all crammed and doing the same stock. Like, we can split up and kind of increase our opportunities and find goats that way and kind of make it work.
Exactly. So. Yep. We'll split up into two groups. It'll just be better. I mean, part of the hunting just out in Western South Dakota is you do a fair amount of driving and glassing from the pickup. Also, there's going to be times where we're going to want to hike out a couple miles and just check something out, you know, but
yeah,
seems like one of the more effective ways is just to put the optics to use, even from the pickup, you know, hit an approach and just pick apart a piece of public. You might find a goat bedded 2 miles away and just make a game plan and try to make it happen. But
I love that, man. That was my favorite thing. Like, we had so much fun last year because it seems like when we get together with you guys by the end of camp, we're like, dude, we've had so much fun. What are we doing next year? And
yeah,
anyway, that's what we did last year. And I told Eric, and I told Eric and Doug, I'm like, you guys got to do this. And Eric's like, hey, I think let's do it. I can go with.
Like, I'm in next year.
And
let's go.
I've been telling them how much fun antelope hunting is because, one, it's an inexpensive hunt. It's not that far of a drive. Like, to get to western Nebraska or South Dakota or Colorado or even Wyoming, it's kind of a jaunt, but they're there. It's fairly inexpensive. Right. There's a lot of them, but it's really hard to get one.
Yep.
So
unless you're Kurt, you get one in the second stock.
I'm not saying it was luck, but it was luck probably. But
it was a fluke for sure.
Better be lucky than good.
But also, yeah, that's true with hunting. But also, it was kind of just a good scenario. Like it wasn't a huge go, and you guys were like, he's not real big, and my dad's like, go for it, and that doesn't really interest me that much right now. And I'm like, okay. You know, right. Like, don't got to talk me into it.
Twist and my arm.
I was shooting it if you didn't, so.
Right, that's what's cool. And I have that goat mounted, and I look at that thing every day and think about, like, how cool that hunt was, you know, because it was a second stock, and we just slipped in there. It was perfect. Like, we had the perfect amount of gradual hill to make a shot over it. And it just worked out, man. Sometimes that's how it goes.
I'm going to give you a little warning that, you know how much grass there was last year and, like, how much cover we had? I mean, a lot of those places we were able to sneak a lot better.
Nothing.
There's not a lot this year, so we're just going to have to make do. We'll figure it out. We just got to get them bedded in the right spot. But the good thing is we're actually hitting it about a week later than we did last year, so it'll be peak rut, peak antelope rut. They'll be chasing all over the place. And we got to get one decoyed so you can witness that, because that is probably, besides the elk coming and bugling in your face at 30 yards, there's nothing else on this planet that's more, fills your body with more adrenaline than an antelope charging the decoy.
I'm ready, man.
So
we got a decoy.
Let's do it.
I bought one so we'd have an extra, and I know you guys got them. And Jeremy, is your buddy going to let us borrow the hat and the suit?
I haven't talked to him yet. I told Travis I was gonna borrow it, and he didn't like the idea. But
I like it. I was trying to figure out how you could anchor your bow without in the nose of that hat.
Just I want to get a video sideways of us wearing a dumbass hat on and killed a goat.
I wanted to buy one last year. Do you remember that?
I do. Oh yeah, that's right.
It's so I don't, for our listeners that don't know, or Eric, you might not even know what we're talking
about.
Hey,
if I can kill a goat, I'll put a goddamn clown suit on. I don't care.
That's pretty much what this is.
Go ahead and explain it. I'll let you guys explain it.
So there's a company. I couldn't tell you what the company is.
Heads Up Decoys. Is
that
it?
Like a. Yeah, I think so. They make a styrofoam. It's like a styrofoam, but like semi-detailed antelope head that you put on your head as a hat. So if you're like peeking up to see something, an antelope would think that you're another antelope looking at them. Also, they make like a full suit you can wear. This like painted or like shirt and pants you can wear. Some people wear a white shirt and like color it with, I don't know. Not for me.
Who doesn't want to wear that?
You know what?
Do they make like the two-person one, like the old horse costume dude, for Halloween?
Yes,
you know?
The two-person one. That would be it. That would be the move.
Who's going to be the ass?
We can work something out.
Who's going to be the ass? That's the question.
We should make one of those, and you guys can just walk across the prairie while the person with the bow stalks behind you.
Just don't shoot the guy in the mat.
I was thinking you guys wear it.
The animals would be like, damn, it's a thick-ass girl over there.
It's a thick-ass boy.
Get a six-person one.
Yeah, six-person one. Just a human centipede antelope.
Right, it's a limousine antelope.
The whole herd's coming.
Yeah, the whole herd. They're like, what about, did the cow decoys work?
Yeah, they work. The biggest thing I've run into is, depending on, you can get like a, I think Montana decoys make a cow cut out one, but those are a little lighter, but it's always so windy. Like, there's very few days on the prairie without at least a 20 to 30 mile an hour wind. So you get like a big piece of, I mean, essentially a lot of guys just make one out of plywood.
Well, oh, so it's
you get
rigid.
30 mile an hour wind, you could take off. I mean, they might go flying. So
like
that's
damn
the
kite.
Biggest battle is fighting the wind, but it does work. I've seen it. I mean, some guys hunt them with horses too, where they'll just like walk next to their horse. But I've never actually had success doing a cow decoy. I've used one a few times. I've got close. But I know in the right scenario, it can work for sure.
So do I need, I have a little quarter inch sheet of plywood here. Do I need to cut out a cow?
Yo, just bring Doris.
Oh, Doris.
I mean, if you do, make it a calf at least.
Okay. Wouldn't that be funny? I could cut some handles in it.
Spray paint it black.
No, could you imagine though if we all had these suits we're talking about? We just have a herd of antelope going across.
That would be hilarious.
Just six of us out there.
Left foot, right foot.
No, we all have our own suit. Oh, you got your own? We all have our own suit.
Just run around.
It's just a herd of antelope out there.
There's somebody stopping on the highway. They're like, look at them guys.
Right. They can clearly tell we're humans.
I think one of the most effective decoys, we have a decoy that attaches to your bow that you can shoot through. So if it's not too windy, if you practice with it and make sure it doesn't screw up your shot too much, you have the opportunity, at least if you're like, let's say you're 70 yards and you're not comfortable taking that shot and you want to get to 50, you can be at full draw walking at that animal with that decoy on your bow and be ready to shoot instead of having to draw. That's the negative part of those suits. At some point you got to pop up and look like this goofy standing upright antelope to shoot. So I don't know. I've never really used one, but
well, if we can
get it, we're just going to give her a whirl. We're going to try it all.
Yeah. Let's try
it. Wing it.
That's the fun thing about it is, you know, it's a lot of glassing. It's a lot of looking. It's a lot of driving, but it's action when you get it. Like, right. It's more action than any other hunt that I've experienced.
Oh yeah, it's constant. How many stocks did we go on last year total? It's crazy.
Papa Dave had 3 goats jump the string. I went on. You know, yeah. I mean, I went on. I shot mine on the second one in a row. We went on 2.
We aren't counting you.
Yeah, that, I got lucky.
Yeah, I bet we did 20.
Yeah, easy 20, easy. So we'll just have to alternate opportunity, I guess.
Yep. The nice thing is, if you get one in like a sneakable spot, a lot of times you, if it blows up, you're probably not going to get another chance at that one for a while. I mean, they're the fastest animal ever. So you're like, oh, they're spooked. They just went over that hill. Let's walk up that hill and see where they went. You get to the top of the hill and they're a mile and a half away.
They're 14 already, miles so at like, the gas station.
But that's also the cool thing about them, right? It's because
the bar already.
If you sit in the ground blind, you put a decoy out, you might not see nothing, but next thing you know, you got one at 20 yards.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a really effective way to do it, especially if you can find a pasture that has antelope in it that only has 1, maybe 2 water holes. If they have like 10 water holes to choose from and they don't feel right about it, they'll just go to the next one. But
yeah,
if they're kind of limited because they don't like crossing fences all that much unless they can go underneath the fence easy. But
like the old saying is, they got to drink eventually, right?
Exactly.
Do you guys remember that goat that we – I'm going to have a hard time explaining this. It was more towards –
Shitbag?
Not shit – oh, I remember Shitbag. I was telling Eric about shit. Is Shitbag still in that area, Travis? I know you scouted there the other day.
I did not see him, but there was a good one. I don't think it was him, but there was one that was bigger than he was. Just on the private, not too far from there, but with the rut kicking in, I mean, he could definitely end up back in there.
Ooh, because I know where Shitbag lived, there was some water.
Yep.
Yep.
So we'll have to map that out. Shitbag, yeah, we made.
He's thirsty.
He was the first goat we stalked on the trip, and then he was the last goat we stalked on that trip. So
yep.
Put a couple straws out there, make it easier for him.
Hey,
there you go.
We'll see.
Crazy straws.
Put a crazy straw out there.
Yes.
We'll see. I know.
I'd be willing to bet.
Go ahead.
Somebody probably killed him opening day of rifle season, more than likely where he was hanging out. But who knows?
Yeah, he was for a rifle. That was a chip shot. He probably got shot from the road.
Yeah, probably could have. And it's South Dakota, so I wouldn't put it past some people.
Probably got shot off the old mirror.
Yeah.
The old mirror rest.
The old toe mirror.
Yep.
Yep.
That's a shame. That's a shame.
The old mirror stand.
R.I.P. shitbag.
Yep.
Maybe he's there.
Maybe we'll find him. Who knows? He'll be giant if he's still alive. So.
Yeah, well, there's one bigger. Maybe it is him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We'll just name them that.
Yeah.
If they're in that field, they're named Shitbag.
Mediocre goat we see in there is Shitbag.
Yeah, mediocre goat, for sure. Well, we're looking forward to the hunt.
I'm excited, man. I can't wait to get out there and meet you guys for the first time.
Yeah, I've been telling the working class crew how awesome of a group you guys are, but this is a perfect time to plug the Nebraska show in January.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Because
absolutely, we're going to be there.
Yeah, you're going to be our booth neighbors.
Hell yeah.
Yep.
Do you guys book your hotel?
Well, not yet. that was on me, and I didn't do that. I'd probably get on that.
Better get on that, yeah, for sure.
I heard you guys are supplying the beer, too.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
We might just bring the latte lounge down and just
there
camp in the parking lot.
There you go.
That's awesome.
We'll just pull it right in the show and put it in our booth.
Let's do this. For any listeners, because I honestly think, as of right now, that Nebraska show might be the only trade show
going on.
So come out and hang out with us in Buckstorm crew. We're going to be drinking beer and partying up at the Nebraska show. Second week of January. It's a weekend after ATA show. And then we should just have a tailgate party in the hotel parking lot. Social distance.
Well, if it's like last year where it was a goddamn snowstorm where we got like 4 inches of snow.
And not a damn place to drink beer.
We'll still party in the parking lot. We'll be there.
Yep. So we'll be there. Come hang out with us and Buckstorm crew and Nebraska show. Lincoln, Nebraska. So you guys just went on the sheep hunt. Let's talk about this.
Yeah. So long story, somewhat short. A good friend of ours, Justin at Bach Taxidermy, Watertown, South Dakota, he mounted Jeremy's elk and my mountain lion. Phenomenal job. I'd put him up against anybody as far as taxidermy goes, but that's out here. Nonetheless, he also tans through Old Barn.
I mentioned that in the beginning, that your taxidermist might work with Old Barn.
Yep, and he does. And he does an awesome job. But anyhow, a good friend of ours, good friend of his, and also his cousin Seth's boss, Marty, pulls a sheep tag. And just to put it in perspective, in the state of South Dakota, in the unit we were hunting, there's 3 sheep tags. That's the most sheep tags that are available in any unit in South Dakota.
Really?
Like the whole state is 3
units?
Well, the whole state is, I think there's 7 or 8 total between all the other units. Or maybe there's 6. There's either 6 or 7, 8, something like that. But
not enough.
Not enough. But the long story short, there's probably somewhere in the ballpark of, I don't know, 8,000, 10,000, maybe even more applicants for bighorn sheep in South Dakota. And there's, let's say there's 8 tags. So 8 guys out of 10,000 get a tag.
Why is that?
Yeah, not to cut you off, is there not that many of them out there? Or like, why is there only 8 tags issued?
They're really disease prone. So what happens is they get these herds up and then they come in contact with like domestic sheep or goats, and they carry a strain of pneumonia that's 100% lethal in bighorn sheep. So if they come in contact with a domestic sheep or goat, they're pretty much guaranteed to die.
Damn.
It's bad, but you can't tell like a landowner, hey, you can't have sheep, you can't have goats on their land, you know? So it's been tough. Okay. There used to be more tags. There was fewer units, but there was more tags in the units that there was sheep in, but it's just like a never-ending battle. The population fluctuates so much, and anyhow,
this might not be as common as a thing as, but is it sort of looked, and I might be out of stretch here and you might not know, because hearing that in my eyes, like I would see sheep farmers and be like, man, fuck you, just get normal animals like a cow or something.
Hey pal, go piss up a rope.
Do you know what I mean?
We ran into a landowner that the very first thing I did was type this place we went. I typed it in. It's called Elk Mountain. I typed in Elk Mountain bighorn sheep. Very first thing that popped up was a landowner that was pissed off about the sheep, and this was a couple of years back. So, we found out by talking to him while we were down there. He owned sheep, and I think that's kind of why he was real upset with the whole situation. But
yeah, and there's a little dilemma too surrounding if they were ever native out here or not, and not, but regardless, there's some really big sheep in South Dakota. The biggest sheep ever killed in the entire world was killed in South Dakota 2 years ago.
I remember that. Jeremy sent you guys had that at your dealership, your Dodge dealership, which is ironic.
Yeah, they did the panel scoring there. One of our good customers called me up and said, hey, you got somewhere we can score the sheep? And I was like, fuck yeah, we do.
I'll fucking find one.
It was cool just to hold that and see it. And I think there's a couple running around out in that same unit where he shot that one that are probably just as big. But he draws his tag, and
Now, is that a resident only tag? Like only residents can apply for that?
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
They also do an auction tag every year to raise money for conservation, and it brings usually right around $100,000 every
year.
Holy shit. Yo, Kurt, let's buy one of them.
I've heard them going for $350,000 before, sheep tags.
Yeah, it goes for a lot of money, and there's a lot of different auction tags around the country, but the one out here I think usually brings between 80 and I don't know what the highest it's ever brought is, but it's a... people pay for it. They're not afraid.
Well, it's kind of like, yeah, that's a lot of money and that sucks, but if there's that few, if someone can spend that money and it goes to conservation, it's kind of hard to complain about that.
If you can do it, why not?
Right, exactly. Right.
If I had the coin...
I would never complain about it. I think it's awesome.
If I had the cash to do it, I would do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah, for sure.
Give me a bidding number
right
now.
Just walk in, fuck these guys, and just throw the number out right away. $80,000
Yeah. 95.
Just leave your hand in the air until it's over. Just never
fucking
put it
beat it, losers.
Yeah. Kick rocks.
I'll be here all night. I don't give a shit.
Be like, and if Buckstorm comes with me, you got to take $10,000 off the price because I got to deal with those. All right, I won't say what I was going to say.
Just drinking Bush Light and been on a sheep hunt.
Yeah. I was going to say something about modern times. You know, you just can't speak the same language we used to speak 5 years ago on the podcast.
Oh, Jesus.
Times have changed.
We don't want to get canceled, you know?
Cancel culture.
People are getting too sensitive.
Canceled. Yes.
Anyway, so your buddy just... just move past it. Yeah, canceled. That's right. We're scared of it. No, we're not scared of it. The hunting community should be a little more put together than that. So it's your buddy wins the lottery. Because I remember that guy was hunting sort of... We ran into him antelope hunting last year, right?
The taxidermist, yeah. He's not the one who won the tag.
Oh, okay, okay.
But he's kind of our connection to being able to go on this because he's friends with the guy that had the tag. But, yeah, we did run into him last year.
Okay, okay.
And they might be up around there this year, too. We might run into him again. But Marty draws this tag, good friend of Justin's. Me and Jeremy went out scouting quite a bit. We put some cameras up. It's in an area that's kind of known for camera theft. And I don't know, I don't think it's just hunters. I think there's like a lot of sheep lovers that run that country.
Yeah.
And they
sheep fuckers.
Yeah. Sheep fuckers up there.
The Velcro glove community, but anyhow,
hell yeah.
Sorry, that's a joke that we always say. Anyhow, we had a camera stolen. And then we had another camera that somebody literally took a like pink rag. You could tell they weren't a hunter because they didn't even shut it off. They just put a pink rag over it, some like earplug with cord on them, tied it around our camera so it couldn't take pictures. Well, there was already pictures on the chip. They didn't think to try to open it and take the chip or anything.
Which is cool.
But, I saw you post that. I was like, who does that?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Had to have been a sheep lover that doesn't want us killing them or something.
I don't know what it was, but anyhow, we decided to take them down because sheep are really, they move a lot. Like, they'll summer in an area, and then all the females hang out in a different area, and as the year goes on, the rut is usually like November, sometimes late October, November into early December. They'll move, and they kind of move already, like coming where we were scouting. We didn't see many sheep when we went back out there. They had kind of all slid a few miles south. So it's more just to see what's out there. But we took all our cameras down because we were like, we're not going to donate anymore. And we just scouted a little bit. The biggest key to scouting was going to be the first couple days before season. So Jeremy and Marty, Seth, Justin, all of them went out. I was stuck at work, of course, and something's wrong with this picture. His boss gets stuck at work.
Yeah.
For the record, Jeremy works for me. But
he's your bitch.
Yeah.
Oh. Yep. We're not going to make that public.
Hey, easy. Whoa. Come on, man.
But we, they went down, they scouted for a couple days. They saw a bunch of sheep, a couple pretty good rams. We just weren't really seeing the quality of sheep that we had hoped to. And, I came down the night before season. I finally got down there, and I'm like, hey, I'm going to go scout up north because they hadn't seen any sheep up north. Everybody you talked to said there's no sheep up north. I'm like, well, where am I going to go? I'm going to go up north. So I went up north and I just sat down and started glassing, and sure as shit, I find a single big ram from like a mile and a half. I didn't know how good he was, so got around on him, realized he was a dang good one. Probably the biggest sheep in that unit, more than likely. To my knowledge, he's actually the biggest sheep that's ever been killed in that unit. But the I watched him till dark. He wasn't going anywhere. He was just chilling. So we thought, I went back, showed all the guys the footage, and we thought that we had kind of a home run plan for the next day. And we went back to camp, had some beers, went to bed, got in there real early, and we glassed and we glassed and we glassed, and we could not find him anywhere.
We got too cocky.
Yeah.
It's all right. You guys are doing your homework, though. You know what I mean? You guys are doing your homework. Like, that's what anybody would do, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Especially for a tag like that. And there was some other hunters. Like, there's three tags, but everybody's kind of hunting the same area because the majority of the sheep are in the same area. So that kind of made it tricky, and they were kind of nervous because there was both the other hunters were down there where they had been scouting the first couple days. So when I found that sheep, it kind of opened up a world of opportunity. I didn't see a single person up there. Nobody knew he was there. We were like, we're going to have this to ourselves. At least we thought so. And we ended up glassing all morning. We moved around in the same valley. I mean, it's big, big country, so it's not like you can just sit down and glass for 20 minutes. We ended up glassing for 6 hours before we decided to go get lunch.
And if you've never done that, it's like, it's super exhausting sitting and staring at binoculars for 6 hours straight.
It's a long time.
It takes a toll on your eyeballs, man.
Sounds easy. Oh, it's bad.
Like, literally, we're glassing for one sheep, and I'm confident there was only one sheep in that whole canyon, and that's the one we were after, which we were cool with that because he was all alone, so we knew we'd have a lot better chance of killing him if we could find him. We just had to find him. So we went back to camp, had some beers. Or not, we didn't have beers. We had beers the night before, I guess. It was daytime. We took a nap, had some breakfast. We literally go back out and decide to split up. Jeremy and Justin were going to glass the east face that we couldn't really cover all of that morning. We were going to go back up and just sit in that canyon until dark if we had to and wait. And Justin literally, they stop from the pickup. They're glassing like a mile away on the side hill. And he spots him within 30 seconds of them stopping the pickup after glassing all morning.
No kidding.
That just pissing your Cheerios, kind of.
Like, you go from a super low to a super high, like, instantly. I mean, we've been looking for him
right all
damn day. And we went to bed thinking we're going to wake up and it's going to be a slam dunk. And then
right.
Just as the day goes, you're like, just getting crushed.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, you go to bed, you located one, you go back, and then your expectations just fall, and your hopes could fall, and I can imagine that feeling, you know. I mean, I feel like I've had that kind of, not to that level of like winning the lottery type tag, no. But you have a certain expectation, right. You go hunting, and that kind of lets you down. The guy who spotted the sheep the next, or it'd be later that day, right? Is he known for being a guy that has a good eye for stuff like that? Or was it like, it just kind of felt like fate, like it fell into it? Do you know what I mean?
Well, he's a flatlander, so.
He's a flatlander.
So it was fate.
I'll give it to him. He goes out and glasses, like, he just killed a really nice 155-inch 4x4 whitetail with his bow the other day.
Is that big
and
80
he's been
sent me,
watching
Jeremy?
Him.
Yep.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, okay. Mad respect for that
stud
one.
Stud 8.
The thing about the way it was, that whole face was just 100% sun, and it was pretty warm out. I don't know what the temperature was. It was probably almost 80, and there was big rocks on the side hill. So the only place you're looking is in the shade, and there really wasn't a ton of shade. And he just happened to look at, like, the biggest rock on the side hill, and there he was. So, I mean, anybody probably could have done it, but... He just happened to do it.
You shit on all this guy's credit. He's going to listen to this podcast and be like, man, they're going to give me credit. I'm the man. I found that sheep. And then I'm just like, tell me about this guy. Did he get lucky? And then he's just like, it all went down.
He found the one shade spot and looked.
He gets all the credit.
He gets all the credit, but it's just.
Okay. Nice save. Real good friends.
Why do you got to do that to me, man? We're not telling them about this.
Yeah. Hey, don't listen to that podcast. We dropped the ball.
Everyone was trying to give me credit for finding him the night before, and I'm like, I don't even want credit. I just want to go kill him. Like, right. I don't care. I don't need credit. I could care less if I ever even saw him. And it just worked out really good. It was just super cool how it went down. And literally where he was laying, we could have never seen him from where we were glassing that morning. That's why we couldn't find him. Well, we had to go park on top of the mountain because it's kind of a landlocked area with private land bordering it. And the wind was pretty bad, and we were a little nervous, so we decided to err on the side of caution. It was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We had all afternoon, so we literally dove off the mountain, dropped 1,000 feet in elevation, had to hike back up just to get the wind right, probably 400 feet or so, got into position, and we took our time. It was ended up being a 373-yard shot with a pretty good crosswind, but Marty's is dead eye, so we weren't too worried about it, and he smoked him. It wasn't a bow hunt, but a once in a lifetime hunt like that. Plus Marty's in his 50s, I hope.
370-yard shot with his bow.
That's sad.
Yeah, he arched it in there, but yeah, it was super cool. Check out the video, it's on our, it tells the story better than we can. But
By the way, I want to give credit to that video. I finally did watch the whole thing. I don't know if I ever told you guys that I finished the whole video the other night.
Oh, damn time.
And, I was messaging. I was like, when you're watching the kiddos, it's hard to get through a whole video. So I watched it. I watched it in like 10-minute increments. Well, then I cut back and just watched the thing all the way through. And the way you guys told the story is kind of the way you paint the whole picture on the video. But it was cool to watch. I like the buildup of it because – Travis, when you spotted that sheep moving through, because you're by yourself and you see this big ass sheep, and I'm kind of like having the same feelings for you while you're watching the sheep. And then he beds down and it's like, man, hopefully he doesn't leave. So then you kind of like have that anticipation when you guys go back, like you kind of feel a little bit of that. So it was cool, and it was neat to see the shot and how excited everybody was. That's like my favorite part of it.
Great
like,
video, man.
The emotional part of it.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just cool.
I missed the shot. That was kind of shitty.
Yeah, we left Jeremy down below to spot just in case he happened to get up and move, so we could meet back up and make a new game plan. And plus, we probably didn't really need 5 guys trying to sneak on this world-class sheep.
It's a smart move.
You didn't have your sheep suit on that day?
Well, I was watching through the spotter, and I could tell they were about to shoot. And here comes the landowner that lives right next to him and on a side-by-side. And I already knew this was the guy that hates sheep. I didn't know if he hated hunters, so I was shitting bricks, trying to talk to this guy, knowing that if I'm nice to him and he likes me, he's going to give us access to get in there to get the sheep. And so he wants to tell me his life story. He's shitting on the game fish, how much he hates what they're doing to him and all this stuff. And I'm trying to be nice to this guy all the while, trying to watch them shoot this sheep.
He's doing the, yeah.
Cool,
yeah,
man.
And I didn't want to ignore him. Well, I ended up missing the shot. And then finally I was like, all right, looks like they shot him. Do you mind if we go ahead and drive across your pasture and get him? And he ended up being really nice. But
yeah, he was super cool. And Jeremy's the real MVP because if we wouldn't have got access, we would have literally had to pack him uphill 600 feet.
I took one for the team.
I wasn't doing it, but 600 feet in a short amount of time. Like, it's not like a gradual 600 feet. It's straight up and down.
That's the one time it's acceptable to turn from, like, a hardcore sheep hunter, Jeremy, to being an Instagram hoe, like, instantly. Like, you're down there, like, showing cleavage and, like, blinking at him all slow. Like,
flipping your hair.
Can we cut across your pasture? It's a long hike down. Those boys are going to be tired.
He was telling me about the history of his place there, how he's a third generation or whatever, and I was like super interested. Like, tell me all about it. I'll listen to everything.
What kind of combine did your dad have? Asking about shit you don't give a fuck about.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did.
Hey, but it all worked out, didn't it?
Absolutely,
it all worked out, and it worked out real good that he let us go in there because we were able – it was still super steep, but we were able to pack him straight downhill, and it was awesome. That's pretty much it. I mean, the video tells the story, like you said, a lot better than you can really put into words. But it's really surreal because most people don't even get to ever go experience a bighorn sheep hunt.
Right.
And just to do that and to kill the biggest sheep that's ever been killed in that unit is just pretty pretty insane that it went down that way. And the only sheep that's ever been killed in that area of that unit, because they're never up in that north end, but this ram was probably 8-9 years old, just old and lazy, and they're not rutting right now, so he's like, I'm just staying here. I ain't going south till the... He knows. He's smart. I'm going to wait till the ladies are ready before I head down.
Yeah. No, that's really cool, man. Like, you guys did your homework, and I'm sure the hunter who got the sheep is so thankful for you guys for putting in the work for that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Super good dude, too.
And he's just an awesome class act guy. And just to put in perspective how lucky this guy is, the same guy drew archery elk tag in South Dakota this year, and he's actually out hunting right now. I'm actually hoping to get a text from him yet tonight that says, hey, get your packs ready.
No kidding.
Because I know he's sitting on a wallow where I have a trail camera that has had some good bulls on it. So I'm hoping to get a text and go get a little sore before sheep camp, before goat camp.
So what's cool about you guys take your own time, your own vacation time to help other hunters. Like, you guys you don't have to take a week off to go hunt with us.
Well, and that kind of comes into my question. Like, this guy that shot the sheep, was he like a really good friend of yours, or was he like kind of a guy you kind of knew and he's like, hey, can you come videotape this? Because it's like a once in a lifetime chance of me shooting a sheep.
We never met the guy until I was down there Monday, the day before the hunt. We talked to him on text and stuff like that. But
we felt like we kind of knew him, but we were good friends. We're good friends with Justin. Justin's cousin, Seth's. This Marty's actually Seth's boss and good friends of Justin, too. So they were good friends. So kind of a friend of a friend deal. But that's the cool thing about, like, diehard hunters. And he's a big-time hunter. He's killed a lot of really nice animals with his bow. He shoots big whitetails. I mean, that's what they do in that country, because eastern South Dakota is kind of more comparable to, like, what you guys do, you know, down in the crop country with the timber groves and whatever. It's more like that, whereas western South Dakota is the plains and different style of hunting.
Right.
So he's not like a guy that never hunts that drew this tag and went out, and he busted his butt. I mean, he stuck right with us. He's got a bad knee. He didn't ever say a word about it hurting him. He just kept on grinding, and he's out here now grinding, trying to kill elk with his bow. So just a super good dude. It's cool, the connections you make through hunting. I mean, like, meeting you guys, meeting a lot of people we've met over the years, and they become your good friends just by, I mean, going on a hunt together, and you can always tell if somebody's a good dude.
Oh, right. And I think that, like, just talking to you guys now, I think we're going to get along great and fucking camp and joke around and bullshit and
for sure
drink some beers.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
That's,
I mean,
that's part of the, that's one of the best things is camp.
Oh, that is the
best.
Oh,
it really is. We're going to have a blast, man. Right when the boys got here, I got a bear barbecue primed up for camp, and I know you guys are going to bring out sheep brats, right?
Yeah. Marty brought us some sheep brats.
We'll don't let me down. I want to try one of those.
Oh, yeah. Those are in the safety zone in my freezer. If anyone touches them, they die.
Is it safe to say that's the only time I'll ever eat those in my life?
Yes.
More than likely, unless one of us gets really lucky and draws another sheep tag or something one of these years.
Dude, if that happens, I will take vacation time to come out to just... I'll film it, whatever, whatever you want. Like,
just to be there in the moment.
Just to be there, because after watching the video and then, like, hearing you guys talk about it, you'll never experience that again, you know, or especially a guy from Illinois will never, ever experience that. Like, there's no chance.
Yeah,
unless
you got 25 grand sitting around.
No, I don't yet.
Oh, yeah.
Well, here's another question. Like, he shot it with a rifle. Is there an archery tag for that?
It's an any weapon tag.
Oh, it is. Okay.
You probably don't do archery, though, right?
So,
I mean, that's
scary.
Once in a lifetime,
I think he probably
would have
tried to use his bow, but he had an archery elk tag, too, so he's, like, kind of juggling, like, hey, I got both these tags, plus it's big country, and if he if he busted it and ended up like ripping his knee or something on a sheep hunt and then not even be able to elk hunt. I think it was more of a, you know what, let's go. I drew this tag. I want to make sure I have a good chance at making an ethical shot. And they're not easy to get close to. I mean, they're not as spooky as a deer, but they're no dummies. I mean, they get hunted, especially in that unit, a fair amount. So where that one was bedded, it might have been possible to sneak in there with a bow. There was another guy that killed one with a bow here in the unit that borders us. Just an absolute giant. This same day that we killed ours, we were actually going to go help him pack it out, but we were busy packing ours out, so we never got a chance to. But it's just he just chose to use a rifle mainly, I think, because he had that archery elk tag, or he probably would have used his bow.
Yeah, I can understand that 100%. Yeah. Like, I don't look down on anybody for shooting a rifle.
Right, and it's so mind-blowing. It's so mind-blowing to me that you guys, in your state, you have so many species to hunt.
I want
to
move there, man. Let's move to South Dakota and run the podcast.
Like, it's crazy.
Out of
I got to get up at midnight buy a doe tag for whitetails. And, like, you have so many species that you can apply for tags, or you can just get tags over the counter. It's insane.
Let's move the podcast center state, South Dakota. We can get the whitetails eastern state, and we can hit everything else on the western side of the state of the river. Let's do it.
It really is like a hidden gem. I mean, from the outside looking in, like elk hunting and stuff, the opportunity doesn't exist for non-residents. So there's no non-resident elk tags. There's no non-resident like mountain goat or bighorn sheep tags. None of that. It's all resident only because we don't have the population to support all these tags.
Yeah, yeah.
But
that makes sense.
From a deer hunting and antelope hunting perspective, it's really a great state. I mean, even as a non-resident, it's a great state to come hunt, and it's easy. There's a ton of public land. It's easy to get tags if you do your homework. I mean, anybody can go on Onyx and just like look at a unit, be like, there's got to be antelope there. I mean, look at all that public land you have, and some of it you got to hike into. I mean, there's like 5, 6, 7 mile deep tracks of public land where the only way you can get there is to put the boots on, you know?
Yeah. And I like doing that, man. We found goats doing that. You know, that's we hiked in and be like, oh, shit, there's antelope hiding back here, you know?
And it was 90 degrees that day.
Oh, I know.
That's what we do with deer all the time with deer. I mean, you can take a little piece that doesn't even look that good, but it goes like 3 miles back in there. They have just a false sense of security back there. Most people are lazy. They just don't get out of the truck. They just glass from the truck. They don't go there.
Right.
You get back in there, it might just be a flat, nothing field, and you could find a 200-inch mule deer bedded up in there.
Really?
You just never know.
That's beautiful.
So what big game species does South Dakota offer?
For non-residents and residents, break it down.
Yeah. So for resident only, out here in the Black Hills, there's over 1 million acres of public land. I mean, basically our backyard is 99.9% public land. It's just public everywhere you go. I mean, you still got to keep an eye. There's a few small private tracks, but nobody owns much. And in the Black Hills, there's whitetail, there's mule deer, there's bighorn sheep, mountain goat, elk,
mountain kitties,
mountain lions. And then as you expand to the east and out on the prairie, not too far from here, antelope, there's a big time mix of mule deer and whitetail in western South Dakota. And then as you get into eastern South Dakota, it's primarily whitetail and it's more crop ground. So usually the bigger whitetail, not always, there's some big ones that get shot out west too, but there's some really big whitetails that get shot out east every single year.
So you're talking 7 species of different things that you guys have the capable of shooting.
Yeah, on the big game side.
Jeez. I'm telling you, the podcast ever moves, if we relocate, we're going to South Dakota. We're going center state. We're going to live on the river, and we're going to just come back.
I can sell some trucks. You guys hiring or what?
Dude, that's what I texted them the other day, and I said, hire me. I'm moving. Let's go.
If I can't sell them, I can work on them. That's fine. I don't give a shit.
Eric and
the good thing is I can always create a spot.
Whoa, come on.
I'd rather wrench on shit than sell shit. So I'll wrench on shit.
I got a lot of kids to feed.
I'll be a salesman.
Yeah, there you go. Doug will do the sales. Eric will be your lead welder, and I'll be just the wrench junkie. I'll just loosen and tighten bolts all day.
Love it. Boy, you guys come out here. I've lived out here my whole life. I could find you a job. We'll find you a job. If you want to move out here, there's plenty of jobs out here.
I know there's a lot of welding jobs in South Dakota out there.
Hey, give us 2 years. We're getting ready to dive deep, boys. Just a little sneak peek for our listeners. We're about to dive deep. Give us a couple of years. We'll be in South Dakota.
Yes.
Love it. We're moving.
We're like Joe Rogan going from California to Texas. We're going Illinois to South Dakota.
Can I still be an Iowa resident?
Yes.
Though?
Dude, you won't need to be.
That's true.
They got Busch Light in South Dakota.
Yeah, you're right. Yes. You're right. That's the only thing holding me back.
Eric, we could hunt elk.
Dude, they got
mule deer. Whitetail, they're there. Goats, sheep, one, and you know, we win the lottery, hunt some sheep.
Well, we can afford that.
The podcast will pay for it.
We'll buy one.
Support us on Patreon. We have our $100,000 membership.
Yeah.
You get to go on a sheep hunt with us.
And watch me kill one.
Yes.
Get to watch us kill a sheep with your money.
That's brilliant.
Hey.
It's a great business plan.
Yeah,
we might need to talk off the air and put some little business scheme together here.
What's a lifetime deal?
Going. We might be sheep hunting every year.
Listen, I got ideas. I got ideas for production here. We're going to move to South Dakota in 2 years. Buckstorm will just be like a frequent guest, and you'll be our personal guides, and we'll pay you.
If you're going to buy a Ram pickup, go to these guys because you want fly across the state. They don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Across the country.
They're giving them away over there.
Yeah. Cheap.
Absolutely. Exactly. And we'll deliver them too. You don't even have to come get it as long as you don't need to see it first. I mean,
is that true?
Jeremy, so. Oh yeah.
We just need that Ram sponsorship. You know what's up?
Hey.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
That'd be all right.
I mean, we did just shoot a Ram on that hunt. So, I mean, it's only fitting.
Let's talk after the podcast. Cause I'm sure you guys are wanting to fork out a couple of trucks. So.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I drive an Isuzu now. I gladly drive a fucking Ram pickup.
It's a Rodeo, right?
Rodeo, yep. Yeah. Isuzu Rodeo.
Yes.
Real nice unit.
Nothing wrong with that.
Hell no.
Looks really good with the deer on top.
You're going to be out here, so drive a couple vehicles out. We'll send you home in a couple new ones.
There we go.
Just kidding. We don't have time for that. We're hunting.
Yeah, we're hunting.
I will gladly drive my Rodeo out with 240,000 miles if you give me a new one.
A fair trade?
Fair trade. Straight up.
Straight across. I love it.
I want to make sure you get here to hunt with us, so I don't know if we should risk that.
It's worth about $45.
Probably at this point, yeah. You got a leaking windshield.
At least you understand that. Most people don't.
Well, I get it.
Well, we're bringing the podcast trailer out. It's going to be a mobile billboard across Interstate 80, and we're going for it.
So, I love it.
Looking forward to it.
Literally,
it'll be a great time.
I can't wait, man.
In real life, the time of this recording, we're leaving in two. We got to work tomorrow and the next day, and then we're leaving Friday morning, and we're on our way, boys. Yep. We're leaving
Friday morning, too, so we're going to do a little pre-scouting while you're driving.
I like it because we're going to leave the Buckatorium studio at 5 a.m., and we're going to pick Eric lives an hour away, and then we're pounding pavement all the way out there.
Did you tell him not to wear Crocs and shorts?
I was going to do that again anyway because it was good karma for the last time.
Bro, that's my look.
Oh, you're getting brave now.
You know, rattlesnakes.
They're bad again this year.
Are they? Are they really?
Snakes. We're talking about snakes. No one knows what we're talking
Crocs
about.
Crocs are guaranteed
protectors.
Dude, I'll snap a rattlesnake out in some Crocs. Or I'm willing to die in Crocs.
No, you better get that thing mounted if you do that.
I still got the skin from last year's rattlesnake in the freezer. I need to do something with that. But, you know, I'm willing to stomp a rattlesnake out or die in Crocs, you know?
Hell yeah.
Hey, my wife's a nurse. I'll see if I can get my hands on some anti-venom.
There you go. Yeah, just have it with you just in
case. Just suck out the venom.
Yeah, Jeremy.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Jeremy. Whoa. Shot fired.
Hey, it is.
Kirk just
stomps
out of rattlesnake, turns Jeremy. he got me towards the pubic area.
Yes. There is a little less grass this year, so they shouldn't surprise us quite as bad as last year, but there's still plenty of places that there's.
Yeah.
They're sneaky. I mean, you never know. I've hunted out here my whole life. I've got close to getting bit by one, but for the most part, you're pretty safe, and in the event you do get bit with one, you're not going to die. They're not diamondbacks.
Yo, I don't.
It might mess up your hunt, but you're not gonna die.
It's not gonna feel good.
I don't fucks. Yeah. I don't fucks with snakes. You know what I'm saying?
I'd catch them. To be honest,
they scare you a little differently when you're right on top one. Remember we were stalking through that.
Shoot them.
We did last year, but remember we were stalking through that thick ass, like that tall
thick
field.
Shit was bad.
We were walking through. Yeah. We hit the one spot where like the weeds and the grass kind of get short because we were on antelope. We were going to make a stalk on antelope. And we're walking through this field. We're walking through this field that's like waist-ish high. And then we hit this like low spot where it's like just below your knee probably. Like maybe a little shorter. Like just
easy walking. You're like, oh, yeah, look at this spot up here.
Yeah, open spot. We hit that open spot. Rattlesnake pops up. But remember it was like a black rattlesnake? Like you could still see the pattern,
yeah,
but
it was
like
super
black.
Dark.
It was – I
and
wanted
he decided
it.
To rattle.
Go ahead. Tell the story.
He decided to rattle after we passed him, like, no warning, just, I'm going to let you get a couple feet past me, and then I'm going to decide to tell you I'm here.
Wow. Dude, my butthole, I'm going to take some words out of Fred Eichler's book. You couldn't hammer a grease BB in my ass with a hammer. Because we're halfway past this thing, and all I remember is, this is the one thing I remember. I remember that rattlesnake popping up. Remember Travis going, that's a black one. And I'm like, ooh, I want. In my head, I'm so redneck. I'm like, I want that. You know, because I wanted to mount. That'd be a cool one to mount. But then we're in the middle of stalking an antelope.
You got distracted.
And I'm like, I don't have my bow with me because I had already tagged out. Papa Dave has the bow. But I'm like, don't shoot it because we're going in after this antelope. I'd rather see my dad shoot an antelope than a rattlesnake. So we go.
Valid.
Can you eat them sons of bitches?
Oh, fuck. We ate the one last year.
Oh, that's right.
We blew the stalk of this antelope. Guess what we do? Walk right the fuck back through the small spot where the rattlesnake was. So on the way back.
Why wouldn't you?
I'm holding on. I'm like damn near riding Jeremy like piggyback so he gets bit, you know.
Like a donkey?
I wanted him third in line because the first person gets warned, the second one gets striked at, the third person gets bit, committed. The last dude's like, oh, man, and outruns everybody.
Oh, man.
So.
Wow.
Oh, so that's how it works.
Hey,
so.
That's another reason to watch that sheep video. I gave a little advice on rattlesnakes, how to walk around. It's really good advice, so make sure you watch it and make sure you hunt with Jeremy, and then you're good.
Travis just slaps on top of the head.
I almost just
want to don't
catch
do
one.
That.
Catch one?
Yeah.
We killed one with a weed eater and a bow last year.
I want to catch it.
A weed eater? Why the fuck did you have a weed eater?
Talk
with
to
you?
Jeremy. That's his deal.
You need a blow dart gun.
You'll find out, I guess.
Yeah. Watch the Buckstorm video. Or I don't know if it was on the
Here's the deal.
Video.
All we have to do is walk in a single file line behind Jeremy and we good.
Okay. I love how he gets the brunt
the shit
of
end
of
the
shit.
Stick every time.
It turned like last year we all turned on him in camp anyway, for no reason. He's just like, why am I getting all this shit for no reason? Why it's just it is what it is, man. I'm sorry.
I got feelings, guys.
I got feelings.
Yeah, it's all good. He can take it.
You just don't show him. I think that's the problem.
Now you sound like my wife.
Ooh,
hey,
damn.
Sound like all our wives.
That's a different rattlesnake.
Yeah, it is. They don't warn you when they're going to bite.
Speaking of wives, I about had a heart attack that I wasn't going to be able to go to goat camp.
We heard this story before the podcast.
Go ahead and tell it, Travis.
Tell it, yeah, absolutely.
My wife got really sick. Like yesterday morning, she woke up sore throat. You know, if I was that sick, she'd call it the man flu. But I actually think she was pretty sick. So she's a nurse, so naturally she had to go get tested for COVID. And in my head, I'm like, oh my god, if she tests positive, I'm screwed because I won't be able to take the kids to daycare. I'll stay home with the boys. For anyone listening, I have twins, so. Not like you can just like pawn them off on someone, especially if they've been exposed to COVID allegedly. So
bring them to camp
allegedly. So I'm like this morning, I'm like praying harder than I did in high school, like a high school pregnancy test, you know, just praying for a negative.
Damn. We've all been there.
Yeah, we've all been there. But this morning, like 8:30 on my way to work, I get a text negative. I'm like, Yes,
I can go.
I was nervous,
like
man.
A little kid,
dude. We've been waiting for this for a
year.
Over every year, we We talked about it last year.
We get just as excited as you guys do, I think. I mean, it's just, like you said, the camp experience, just getting together, hanging out. I mean, if we obviously were there hoping to kill something, but even if we didn't kill a single thing, we're going to have a great time.
Oh,
I mean,
we're gonna have a
I'm sure
blast,
somebody will
man.
Kill something, but it's going to be fun.
We'll have a riot. I've been telling all the WCB boys about you. Like, you got to meet these guys. They're so much fun. You guys are just like us. And I'm looking forward to like spending a trade show with you guys. So the whole, cause we're going to have most of our crew there. Like, you know, we're the three main hosts, but the crew is going to be there and just having everybody meet you guys and hang
do
out.
Do they understand how we do trade shows?
I don't know. Cause you guys, they've never done a trade show.
Never.
This is their first show.
I've heard stories.
Oh boy.
I think it goes something like Busch Light, show up 30 minutes late, Busch Light.
Actually, we're always early. We are. We're
I'm
some.
Just
of the,
kidding.
We're some of the first people there, but that's just because we want to start drinking before everybody else.
Yeah, it's usually Bloody Marys or Busch Light.
We want
like,
a pregame before the game.
That's right.
Exactly.
We're looking forward to it. That'll be a great time.
We're gonna see if you guys can hang or not. You know what I'm saying?
We're seasoned pros in the trade show game now.
Well, we got a year break and we're gonna really test our mettle.
Yeah,
this year
we might have a little
come back strong and healthy.
We done boys.
Well, we haven't drank any less, so I don't know about that.
That's true.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Iowa Classic. We get there an hour early before everybody else. We've already six Busch Lights in and two Bloodies. And then...
And silos, by the way.
Silo Busch Lights. And then I'm drinking a Pedialyte at 9 a.m. And some smart-ass 45-year-old's like, he's drinking a Pedialyte. He's hungover. I'm like, sir, if you only knew. Where's your daughter? You know?
Jesus, Kurt.
Savage.
Just kidding. I never said that, but I thought it.
But I thought it. You'd like to have said it.
Yeah. I was like, where's that thought? That hoe over there. Oh, I see her. Instagram, what's up?
Hey, take it easy.
That Instagram thought or what?
I'm losing it. It's time to close this podcast out.
Oh, I can't wait for the podcast in camp, man. Oh, yeah. I think it's going to get wild.
Podcasts.
It's going to be fun.
I'll be there. I'll be there next year.
You'll be there in spirit.
In spirits.
And mustache.
Yeah, I'll be working and drinking after work.
You're going to be drinking at work?
No, I
don't
can't
do
that.
Doug's having a housewarming party while we're gone.
Yeah.
We'll call you at least and rub it in a little bit.
Yeah, just call me. Or I'll call you guys and see what's going on.
We'll all kill the first day and just drive back and go to his housewarming party.
Dude, fucking.
There you go. Yes. Hey. Or we'll leave him in the dark and be like, yeah, it's been.
You're
just going to
ghost me.
We didn't
like
have
every
any
girl.
Fun.
Like every girl. Put you on read.
Yeah, that sounds fun. And that's all you're.
It's going to be a good
hey,
time.
Hey, we killed seven animals today, and that's all we say.
Well, yeah, what if we fill all our tags day one?
That's nine tags.
But what if?
We got goat tags, too.
But what if, yeah. Can you imagine, though?
Unless.
What if we did?
Hey.
Yo, you better bring a sharp fucking knife if that happens.
I'm not going to lie. I'd still camp all week.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, same.
Why wouldn't you?
I have 24 blades for my knife, so we'll be good.
Yeah, me too.
I like
I'm good.
Well, cool, boys. Well, tell everybody where to find you, and just this is your time to speak to the people, however you want to speak to them.
Yeah, just check us out. Instagram, it's at BuckStormSD, Facebook, and then most importantly, YouTube. That's where we post all of our videos, but we're real active on Facebook and Instagram too. We have a website also, BuckStormHunts.com. You check us out on there. It gives you links to everything, links to some videos. Also, our merchandise is on there, hats, shirts, beanies, stickers, you name it. All of our little stuff on there to help support us. You can get it there. And, yeah, that's about it.
Very cool. And I imagine in camp we'll probably do some sort of, like, Buckstorm working class collaboration giveaway. So keep an eye out for Antelope Camp podcast that will be coming down the line here.
Absolutely.
We'll probably blast all of them out back to back right before whitetail season because it's time to think about that when we get back. And we're thinking about it now, but we'll think about it even heavier then. So imagine we'll talk in camp and we'll drink one too many Busch Lights and try and give some shit away. So we'll just kind of tune back into those episodes, see what we're up to on those hunts. And yeah, go subscribe to Buckstorm and keep up to date with them guys. Thank you guys so much for doing this podcast now, especially when we're about to spend a whole week with you. So we appreciate what you guys do. You guys are good dudes.
They're already sick of us.
Yeah, they're like, man, I don't want to do this
fuck these guys.
I wish my wife would have got COVID.
How do we cancel
this thing? How do we pull the plug?
Yeah. She's positive. she was positive for COVID. Yeah, that's
yeah. Yeah, I was a false positive.
Because
yeah.
Now Jeremy's got it because he's sitting in a truck with them, and then you know, we'll yeah. Roundtable it out. You guys
thanks
got
for
anything?
Figuring that out for us?
Yeah, so I'll call your bluff before you're gonna call. You know, I'm gonna circle roundtable. Yep. We'll start with Eric. What's up, buddy?
Man, I'm just thankful for you guys to come on, and I look forward to next week and meeting you guys. And
you're gonna have a blast, dude.
Hopefully put a goat down.
I'm excited for your first, like, antelope. You're going to love it. I know you will.
I'll probably cry.
I'd love that, actually. Okay. Tears of joy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Doug?
I love it. I think Eric's going to have to put the bow in his hand first, either him or Papa Dave. Kurt, you're out. You're
yeah.
Third in line.
I said that before the podcast. Like, I got my goat. I got to – seriously, though, I mean, that's kind of how it works, right? Like, Papa Dave was there last year.
Oh, yeah.
Papa Dave deserves – I think he deserves the first shot because he's already put in
work. I'll give him that.
And we got to get one in his lap. We'll get one 20 yards for him. But we'll all have our opportunities. We all will. But, yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. I also think spinning off that giveaway thing, maybe we'll have to invite a listener or something to goat camp next year.
Ooh, that's a good idea. We can do like a hunt giveaway.
Yeah.
What to talk about?
Might as well.
You guys pay for it and we can give it away.
Right, yeah. That's how this works.
There you go.
What's up?
Give them a Dodge Ram, too.
We'll collaborate on that a little bit. But.
Yeah, they get a free truck.
You get a free truck.
A hunt. And you guys pay for it all.
And a night with Jeremy.
Exactly. Yes.
And I with Jeremy in a tent by yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And a bottle of wine.
Everybody's out now.
A bottle
of wine.
What
was that idea?
Bottle of Boone's Farm.
Yes.
Boone's Farm.
We'll buy that.
You win a prize of Jeremy talking to your neighboring landowner to get you permission to hunt there.
Right.
No, just across it.
Yeah, just across it.
Not the hunt. Just
Doug, what do you got?
Good luck, boys. And I'll see you next year.
No, you'll see him in January. Well, yeah,
see you at next year. Oh, technically next year. Yeah.
That is next year.
You weren't wrong. I just got to thank you guys what you do, kind of giving up your vacation time and your free time to help other people on hunts, like the sheep hunt, the elk hunt. You helped your buddy pack out an elk,
and us idiots.
It means a lot. I hope that Buckstorm blows up big time. I really do hope the best for you guys. You guys are some of the best people in the game. And I really do believe that. Otherwise, we wouldn't hang out with you like we do. And
kid you the curve a long time ago.
Yeah. But honestly, though, I mean, I think what you guys are doing is great. And you're doing it a real way that people who are working class and real about things can appreciate how you go about it. So I think people should really just check you out and give you a chance. And
appreciate it, man.
This is
we'll
your time.
See you guys real soon.
That's right. You got anything to close out with? Did we get everything?
I think we got her, man.
We're good.
Let's get these next couple days busted out and go to goat camp.
That's right.
That's right.
I like it.
Put some hours in.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed this one. Check out Buckstorm. Do them a favor. Do yourself a favor. And go shoot your bow. We love you. Bye.